But I was just thinking about the word salvation. And I think salvation, the word, gets sold short. Because it's not just about us getting saved and going to heaven. It's salvation of every part of our being. Salvation of our health. In other words, if we're sick, it's for health. It's salvation of our mental state. If we're depressed, if we're in anguish, if we're any of those things that are, you know, brokenhearted, it's salvation for that. It's salvation for restoration. Restoration in relationships, in marriages, families, in workplaces. And I think we sell it short because when Jesus saved us, he didn't save us just so that we could get out of this place and get a ticket to heaven. He saved us so that we could live a life of his fullness, a life and life abundantly. And so I just want to challenge all of us this morning as we worship to set our hearts on the one who has saved us and given us salvation, because he is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. He saved every part of us. How much we live in that, that's up to us. How much we appropriate and walk in, that's up to us. So today, let's press in a little deeper. Let's reach a little higher. Let's let our hearts connect a little more intimately and see if the Lord will do something mighty in our midst. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you that you're working all things for our good, Lord, in this place today. For those listening online, Lord, I speak health and life, Lord. For Jesse right now at home, I speak life and health over his body. Lord, for anyone else, Lord, that's ill or sick, that's part of this family, Lord, we pray that you'd let healing be part of their home life, Lord. Let healing be the children's bread. Let health be what resonates and moves through their family and through their household. Lord, we thank you that this is the day that you have made, and we are going to rejoice. We're going to be glad, Lord, in your salvation in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
So Take me as you find me. All my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Yeah, I surrender.
What an amazing gift that we have to be here, to be able to sing sweet nothings to this God who gave his son so that we could have a relationship with him without an interpreter, without needing somebody to sacrifice a lamb or to... Yeah, amen. He says amen. So without saying much more, I just really want to invite you guys to come on up and just do something different and get vulnerable before the Lord. Begin to give him thanks, and if we can sing that again, but instead of singing it whereas we're talking to him, like, God, you can move the mountains. God, you are mighty to save. You are mighty to save. God, you're the author of salvation. you rose and conquered the grave. And just, I want us to replace it and begin to, like, we're speaking to him, not about him, and begin to give him those praises.
I said at first about having another level of that salvation, whether it be healing in a relationship or healing in your body or healing in your heart, your mind, will, and emotions, to just come up and we'll agree with you in prayer about what you want to receive from the Lord in that area of your life, in His saving grace, in that mighty salvation. So just come up. Once we see you come up, if you just raise your hand that way, you know, we'll know you want prayer. Thank you.
We're singing for the glory of the place. And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. Do you believe it? You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. Yeah, we declare this. And you're never gonna let, sing it out. And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. Oh no, you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. And you're
you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. As we're going to these songs, he just continues to remind me that he's got it. And I'll be the first one to say I've got some things that I've been trying to take the God out of his God spot and trying to put myself there to fix it. And he just keeps reminding me, like, baby girl, I didn't ask you to do that. That's not what I asked of you. Just keep your sights on me. Keep your sights on me. And that's really hard to do sometimes, especially as a mom when I have responsibilities. It can be really hard to keep my sights on him and not think about the things that aren't happening the way that I need them to, or, you know, money coming in when it should, or whatever. And so I just want to invite you guys to really let him in at this point, because I feel like we're on the verge of breakthrough. God is doing something, and he really wants to bring down these mountains that have been in our way for a little bit now. And so, and I just feel like, I was talking to my dad today, it was so perfect, and he was telling me how he was reading these scriptures upon scriptures of, like, when the sheep leave their flock, then they're out for the wolves, right? And if they leave their master. And so, and here I am, I keep forsaking my master. He keeps telling me to do this one thing, but it's not comfortable, right? And so I continue to go do the things that I know to do to try to make these things happen, and it's no wonder that I'm feeling stress or anxiety. And so if you can relate to that and you have these things in your life that you just want to have shift, I invite you to come up, and I just invite you just to not worry about that thing anymore, but instead lay it down and begin to praise in opposition. Begin to speak those things out in faith, knowing that he has it, even though you haven't seen the outcome yet. And that whether that be healing or finances or a family member or friend, that suffering, like, lay them here at the altar, and then don't think about that. Just begin to pour into the Lord and speak praises over him and allow him to do what he does best, which is handle it. Yeah. So if we could just sing that one more time. I just feel like he is good and he's got breakthrough coming.
Thank you.
Responsibility and kingdom looks opposite of what responsibility looks like in the world. The world says that you have to have this going on and that going on, that you have to have these things in order. And I'm here to tell you, God says otherwise. You know, if he is a God of order. And so, yes, be responsible. Do you know, if you have work, make sure you're showing up and things like that. But when you're doing everything that you can and things just still aren't lining up, get on your knees, guys. And begin to just praise him and get his perspective on things. It doesn't look like, it looks like, oh no, I need to do this. I got to pick this up too. And I got to go and do that. But I'm telling you, if you just get with him and allow him, circumstances might not change right away, but I promise you that perspective that you have and the peace that will come is far better. And the solution will come. So Jesus, I just thank you. I thank you for the sacrifice that you made, that you paid with your blood so that I could have relationship with the Father. God, I thank you for the works that you're doing in this place. I thank you for the miracles that you are calling to happen, God. I thank you that you're setting Yakima on fire for you and that you're using us to do that, God. Father, I pray that our flames would only burn hotter and faster, God, and that they would begin to engulf us, Jesus, but that we would carry your love as well and your compassion as we go throughout the day, Jesus, and the people that we encounter, Father, would have an encounter with you because of how you reside in us, Jesus, because we continue to put you first, Father. Yes, and Father, if we're having trouble with that, Lord, that you would just begin to call us by name and remind us and keep us on track, Father. I thank you for allowing us to have relationship with you. Oh, without an interpreter, without somebody saying how it has to be done or having to cleanse myself before I get before your presence. I'm so thankful for who you are. And I just pray, Father, that you would bless the message as we receive it today, that our hearts would be changed and transformed when we leave this place in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, worship team. Can we just give a praise to the Lord? Can we just clap for him? Thank you, God. What a merciful God we serve. And with that, I'd love for you guys to just take like 2-3 minutes and just greet one another. There's a couple faces we haven't seen in a long while. And I just love to give you guys some squeezes.
Praise the Lord. Well, I know you guys could share and love on each other for a long time. But we got a declaration here to do. For those of you who haven't been here the last couple of weeks, we've been praying for Yakima Valley pretty much ever since, I think since about the elections of last year. It was really put on our hearts and praying for the government. But Eric had on his heart to have a declaration. Instead of us just praying up here, we all pray together. So if you don't mind just standing again for a moment, it's like puts a little zeal in our hearts, right? Hang on a second here. I'm going to have somebody else do this. Okay. Yeah, just click on those as they go. So on three, we're going to get started. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. And Father, right now we also lift our government before you. Father, we just ask that you would just touch the hearts, Lord, of all politicians, of all individuals, Lord, in departments and different areas of government. Lord, even the lobbyists, Lord, we pray that you would just touch our nation, Lord, with your power and with your glory. Lord, that hearts would turn towards you, Lord, first of all. And Lord, that as they do that, Lord, that they would make godly decisions, that they would do the things that are in your will to do. And we pray right now, blessing on Washington, D.C. and every government seat, Lord, in this nation. In Jesus' name, amen. What's that? Oh, you want me to do announcements? Okay, I'll do announcements. All right. So this coming Saturday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., we're going to have a church work day. And this is going to be work inside and outside, trying to beautify the place a little bit after the winter and just make it so that it looks springy and fresh and clean, especially inside. Yay, one's clean inside. More like just clean, not necessarily clean, looking good outside. I don't know if dirt gets clean, does it? But anyway, we're going to be having that at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. We'll make sure that there's some donuts and stuff in the morning, and then we'll have lunch for you, and then you can go home and do your yard work probably, right? So anyone and everyone, please come. And then on April 15th, the Easter weekend, we're going to have another all-night prayer. Yeah, I see faces. All-night prayer. It's from 8 p.m. to, yeah, not 8 a.m., 8 p.m. to 4 a.m., so it's 8 hours, and it is amazing. And you don't have to come for the whole night. You can come for a half hour. You can come for 20 minutes. You can come for an hour. You can come all night if you want. All night is amazing. Usually towards the last couple hours, it got crazy last time. So we'll just see what the Lord does this time. So I encourage you guys who want to come and really prepare their hearts that week, go ahead and fast. Fast some your multimedia. Fast food. Fast, don't eat fast food. Fast food. There we go. What's that? Yeah. I knew, but when I said it, I said, somebody's going to think I said eat fast food. No. But just do whatever you need to do to prepare yourself spiritually, and I encourage everyone to join us. It is an amazing time. Right, guys? Right? Right? Whoever made it before? Yes. Yeah, come on. Lexi over there. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, who could think, you know, you're going to think that prayer's boring? It's not boring. It's God atmosphere, environment, filling the place. As we're praying, we had someone testify that as they walked in that first night, they had been about a half hour late. They walked in, they just felt like they just entered the presence of God. And that's because we were seeking him. And when you seek him, you find him. When you search for him with all your heart. And then the 17th is Easter service. So invite family and friends. We're going to have some cards next week that we're going to hand out that you can hand out to your friends, family members who maybe haven't been going to church. You know, it's known statistically that usually most people, if they go to church irregularly, it's usually Easter and Christmas. So I encourage you to get hold of those individuals who still love the Lord, but they just for whatever reason haven't been going to church, and just encourage them to come, and we'll celebrate Christ's risen day together. Amen. And then the next week, we usually have it the third week, but this week, this month, we're going to have it on the 23rd, because men's breakfast is, what, 9 a.m.? Can you imagine just a few hours later me showing up for men's breakfast and Eric? No. So I encourage anyone who knows friends, men, you can come and join us at Sherry's at 9 a.m. on the 23rd. We have men's breakfast. It's really good. Encourage you. And I think one more thing. Yes, thank you for giving. OneLifeFamilyWorship.com. You can give online. You can give in the front, and you can give in the back. And without a further ado, Eric, bring it. Yes. Let's hear it for check, Eric.
Check, check, check.
Yay!
All of two people.
Check, 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 check. Woo! There it is. Okay, you can actually bring it down now. Okay, so before I forget, I wanted to just give a little bit of highlight on last week's spaghetti feed. So for those of you who don't know, our youth ministry did a fundraiser and we did a spaghetti feed, and we ate spaghetti and salad and bread, and it was delicious and it was amazing. And because of your donations and generous people, I was getting random Venmos and whatnot and cash that we brought in. We actually brought in over $700 for our youth ministry. Yes. So thank you, everyone who gave and even participated. No, big or small amount was unappreciated. Like Nancy and I, when we started looking over the money, we were anticipating maybe $200, maybe $300. And we started counting. We're like, wow. So we're very excited about that, just because that's going to, that's not going to be the only fundraiser we do. But, you know, just being a small church, as you guys are probably aware, funds need to go to other places, and there isn't always a lot of money to go to other things. And so we highly value our youth ministry here, though, here at One Life. And so we're going to be able to do, you know, all the things that we want to do. So it's amazing. Yes, today I'm speaking. Nancy actually brought up the word. You could put it up, Pastor. She mentioned the God spot. And she was talking about how, like, in her life, she might take God out of the God spot. And this is actually a phrase that we probably learned about in ministry school. I'm not really sure where we picked it up. But we started to, we used to say it a lot. We used to focus on this a lot, the God spot. And this week, I was actually talking to somebody, and the word came up as well in conversation. And this is a student. She's not a student anymore. She's 23, but somebody who I used to minister to back in Reading. And she mentioned, oh, I think I have taken God out of the God spot and so forth. And so it highlights to me, like, oh, the God spot. Like, I've totally forgot about this term, the God spot. Now, I'm going to break this down for you guys. But essentially, this is the God spot. I think the first slide I have is a circle. The circle with the God spot? Yeah, that one. So, essentially, if you can envision, I almost went old school, Pastor Ken old school, and brought out the whiteboard and did like a 43-point sermon on that. But if you guys remember Pastor Ken, shout out, Ken Parsley. But I didn't. I think we can accomplish what I'm trying to get across by doing it this way. So, the circle. The circle signifies our life, if you will, okay? And the most important thing in our life, and I don't want to should on you, but I will for this instance, should be God. Can we all agree with that? Whether or not he is or not, that's not the question I'm asking. What I'm asking, I think we all can agree that the center of our life, the goal of our Christian faith, is that God would be the center of our life. Amen? Are you with me? And then the next slide. So, We then have other circles in our lives, okay? So the outer, and it's not limited to this, but this is just an example, okay? But the outer circle then would become our family. It'd be our spouses. It'd be our kids. It'd be, you know, our family, our spouse's family, our, you know, and so forth, right? You can build many, many circles, right? And then out of that would be our friends. And some of us have friends that are like family, so that might bleed into that inner circle, and we might have a friend that's like family or a best friend. And then we have acquaintances, people who we work with, that we go to school with, that we, you know, the clerk at Safeway that we see every week, and we kind of know their name, but we don't really know them, but they're just there. And then the circles keep going and going, and outside, way outside the circle is like Elon Musk, right? Like someone that you don't even know, that you have, you know his name and you might know his picture, but you have no idea about him, right? But sometimes, if you go to the next slide, Pastor, this is what our circle will look like. And it's not that God is on completely out of the circle. Maybe he is for some of us. And there's no, you know, I'm not trying to shame anybody. But sometimes this is, especially our life before Jesus, this is what our life looked like, right? There was something else in the center of our life. And God was maybe there, maybe he was further away out there with Elon Musk, right? Or maybe he was, you know, maybe, and this is probably going to be more relatable for us, is that sometimes that family piece goes to the center and we say, well, no, my wife is the center of my life. My kids are the center of my life. Now, that doesn't sound bad. Inherently isn't bad. Our kids, our family need to be our focus. However, if we're living a life following Christ and we want to grow closer to Jesus, and we actually want to have a successful walk with the Lord, that center can't not be filled with anything but God, the God spot. So this is what we're talking about. So the God, you know, the thing about it, and this may come as a surprise to some of you, but God actually isn't after just your Sunday. He's after all of you. He's not after just your 10% of tithes. He's after all of your money. He's not after just the small group time you have during the week. He's after all of your time. Okay, and we get it confused when we try to try to compartmentalize and say, okay, well, this section right here of my life is the time is my God time. But when I get over here in this sphere, in this group, this sphere of influence, or around this group of people, that's not my God time, right? And we almost treat it like we clock in and clock out, right? We almost come to church with the mentality sometimes of like, okay, here's my clock in time. And from 10:30 to 12:30, if you will, you know, I'm clocked in. And then when I leave this place, all right, awesome. Did my job. God, we're good till next week. Great. I'm still going to get paid. Great. And I clock out, right? And we go to, we log into our Zoom men's meeting and women's meeting, and we say, okay, I'm clocking in at 7 o'clock and clocking out when it ends. And, you know, we go to, you know, and it goes and goes. And again, please hear my heart. I'm not saying that, hey, you guys are horrible people. That's not my heart. More what I want is ask the question. You can put the first thing up there, Pastor, is God in the God spot? Is God in the God spot? Because he's not just satisfied with just a piece. He wants it all. You know, there's these moments in the Bible where Jesus has his followers and other men want to follow him. And they come and like, I want to follow you, right? And there's a couple instances. And there's just one that kind of, it jars me a little bit when I read it. Because this man comes to follow Jesus. He says, I want to follow you. And Jesus tells him, and Jesus says, yes, yes, you can. And the man says, okay, well, my father died. Let me go bury my father. And all loving, all gracious Jesus, you would hope he would look at him and say, yeah, absolutely. Go mourn. Go hug your mom. Go be with your siblings. Go, right? But no, Jesus looks at him and says, let the dead bury the dead. Essentially, we don't have time for that. If you're going to follow me now. And there's a couple different instances in that where I don't think Jesus is being mean. I think what Jesus is doing is he's painting this picture. It's like, this is the cost of following me. It costs you everything. This is the cost of inviting me into your life, is that you don't just get to put me where it fits, you know, your life or your personal life or your schedule. But actually, I want to be the center of your life. That's the cost. Right? So this is how I define the God spot. This is the reserved spot for God in your heart, mind, and spirit that many things can fit in, but a spot only He can fill. So our life, we have that spot reserved for God, right? In our heart. All of us have it. Any person on this planet, there's a spot in their heart reserved for God. Whether or not they fill it with Him is a different question, is a whole different topic, right? So many things can go in that spot, right? I gave examples. We could put family in there, right? We could put money in there. We can put our jobs in there. We can put our hobbies in there, right? Like we get, like the center of our life is this thing other than God. And many things could fit in there, but the only thing that will actually fill it is the Lord. This is why you'll see people who are rich or who are very, you know, successful financially, right? But they're still empty. And you hear them in interviews and they're like, yeah, I have all this money. I have all this accolades. I mean, it happens to professional athletes all the time. They think my life is forever changed. I just signed this contract. I got a multi-million-dollar contract and my life is forever changed and it's always going to be full. And then you hear interviews with them 10, 20 years down the road and you hear about the emptiness that they felt. And you and I think, well, wow, if I had a contract where I was getting $200 million for playing a sport, everything would be great, right? Or if I was getting even like the lowest, like even the lowest paid athletes get a couple hundred grand a year, like I'll get paid that. Can I? I'll take a bench warmer salary, right? But my point in saying that is that they can and will put that in the God spot and think my life is now fulfilled. I'm good now because I have everything I need. But then they're still empty. Because there's nothing else that can fill your heart and your life like Jesus can. Are you with me? We a couple years ago we lived in some apartments. Now, I'm not shaming anybody who's lived in an apartment before, but it's not for me. Okay, and especially in my 30s with multiple kids. Absolutely not. Was not fun. Especially when people live above you with multiple kids. Definitely not. Okay. And so we lived in these apartments and we did not have reserved parking. And some apartments do, and it's glorious, but this particular apartment didn't, right? And so we lived in these apartments and it wasn't just like even that our parking spot. Or if you got a parking spot close to where you wanted to be, you would like just be able to go into your front door. No, there was like, you wanted the parking by these stairs that you would walk up and then you would then walk down the sidewalk. Like just get me a little bit closer to the stairs. Right. And so it was a fight every week or every day, you know, depending on what time I came home, like, is there going to be a parking spot close to the stairs? Right. And if I got home like after 9 or 10, forget about it. I'm literally parking like around the corner and it's an apartment complex. So it's like its own little neighborhood. Right. I'm parking around the corner and it's like 11:30 at night and we have little kids and they're asleep and you have other things we're having to like trek all this stuff up or having to park, you know, like double park, put our flashers on so we can get stuff. It was a whole thing. And we had this one person and it would get me every time. This one person that lived in the apartment complex, they had a motorcycle and they would park as close as they could to the curb and they'd have it turned sideways. So you'd be driving along like, oh my gosh, front row parking. And then you'd get there like, nope, they have their bike there. And then what they would do is they had a smaller car and they would park that car there. So they basically took one spot for two different vehicles. And it always like, I needed to pray for myself at that time because I was always like, what is happening, right? There's a spot in your heart reserved for God. There's a spot in your heart reserved for God. Now, some of you already know this and you've learned this long ago. And some of you are still on the journey of learning this. But there is a spot in each one of our hearts that's reserved for God. Again, is God in the God spot though? Right? Holiness isn't saying no to a bunch of things. Holiness is saying yes to one person, and that's Jesus, all right? So we look at serving God, sometimes what we can do, especially I'm a very logistical person. Like I work in logic, right? Black and white. Okay. So coming to know the Lord at 19 years old, I was like, okay, awesome. Sin, bad, God, good. I'll do that, right? And so everything was very black and white, right? And unfortunately, what that then did in my early walk is then I would focus so much on the things I'm not supposed to be doing, and that would become my religion. That would be my faith. As long as I'm not doing these things over here, I'm good. And I was not so much focused on my big yes. I was too focused on all of my no's, right? So again, holiness, serving God, isn't just about saying no to a bunch of things. It's fully about saying yes to Jesus. It's fully about saying, Jesus, this is your spot. You park here because you're the only one that's going to fill it. Are you with me? So allow him in. It's never too late. It's never too, whether you're young or whether you're on the older side, like there's never a time in life where God's like, you know, you missed it. You know, I was trying to minister to you in your 20s and you missed it. You know, and now you're in your 40s and 50s, and you know, it's just I don't want those people anymore. Like, it's not like Jesus looks at us and says, okay, your time, like there's a window of time where you can receive me, and there's a window of time when I won't accept you. Like, no, he's always ready. Let's read this story in Luke. This is Luke 22. And this is a story about Peter. Now, I love Peter so much, and I actually really relate to him because he's a doer. I love Peter because he's zealous and because he's like, let's just go do stuff. And if you guys have watched The Chosen, I highly recommend The Chosen. It depicts this amazing picture of what Peter's personality was like, in that he was just like, hey, as zealous as he was before God, he's like with God, he's like, I'm super zealous, right? Like, I want to go do the stuff. And there's this instance where Peter is, this is right before Jesus was going to go to the cross, and they all knew it. And Peter was talking to Jesus, and he says, you know, I'm ready to die for you. Like, I'm ready. Like, I am with you to the end. Right? And Jesus says this phrase. He says, you will deny me. Before the rooster crows, you will deny me. Right? And Peter, he's zealous. He's like, Jesus, I've given up the last 3 years, I've given up completely for you. I've walked away from everything for you. Right? I put you before everything. There's no way that I'm going to deny you. And then we see Peter here, and this is, Jesus is captured now. Jesus is getting beat. You know, it's a brutal scene, and everybody's watching this, including his disciples. And it says this in verse 54. It says, then they seized him being Jesus, and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, this man also was with him. But he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. Peter said, man, I am not. And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, certainly this man also was with him. For he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now, if you read the Bible, you know this isn't the end of Peter's story. And we get to read Peter doing amazing things for Jesus. But I would say, if you were to ask Peter before this moment, hey, is God in the God spot? Peter would have said, yes. Double yes. He is there. Will you do anything for him? Absolutely. You want to see? Cut this guy's ears off. Right? Like, that's the Peter that we're talking about, right? And then we find Peter in a moment, I would say, where actually would be a true test of are you with him or not? And we find Peter denying Jesus. The same Peter that gave up everything, the same zealous Peter that said, I'm gonna give it all for you, Jesus, is denying him. So the question wasn't whether Peter loved Jesus or not. I think that's a given. All of his disciples loved him. The question is, where was Peter's heart in that moment. Peter let fear take the spot where God belonged. For a moment, Peter allowed fear to move into that spot that God belonged. Because Peter fought. Peter fought. He cut the high priest servant's ear off, but he actually couldn't fight when it really mattered. Again, church is not where the battle is. Church is your training ground. Church is where you learn to spar, if you will. We sometimes can get it confused and say, well, when I go to church, this is where I show all of my faith. This is where I get to show my mightiest weapons, if you will, that God has given me. And that's great. Really happy that you can come into a place where it's safe to take risks and it's safe to worship God and express your worship to God. That's amazing. However, I'm not sure that if you truly have God, if we truly have God in our God spot, are we then able to take that same tenacity, that same unashamedly worshiping God, unashamedly talking about Jesus, unashamedly the whole thing, and go out and actually live that same way? Are we able to do that? Are we able to keep God in the God spot or say, God, I'll have you in that spot when I'm in the safe confines of my church home, or when I'm at Bible study, or when I'm in my own personal home? That's when I'll be able to take risks, God, right? Again, I know it's not easy, and I know this isn't something that it's not an easy message to even speak, because even me as a believer, as someone who gets to teach about this stuff, as someone who gets to lead, this isn't the easiest lifestyle to live. It truly isn't. It's easy when I'm around Christians. It's easy when I'm around other people that believe the same way I do and look the same way I do. That's easy. The true test is when I get around people who believe different than I or don't believe at all. That's when I get to find out, oh, is this thing in me that I've been talking about actually real? That's the moment I get to actually put that thing to the test and actually let me see if I can walk the walk. When you walk out of these doors, that's when the fight starts. When you walk out of these doors, that's when you see the kind of fighter you are. You find out real quickly what spot God is in your heart. Real quickly. My second point is this. Or this is really more of a question. These are less points and more questions. How do I put God in the God spot? Let's be practical for a second. So Matthew 6:33 says this. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And I love how it says it in the Passion. So above all, constantly seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Amen. When you seek the Lord, you will find him. When you seek the Lord, you will find him. Now, this doesn't mean more church. This doesn't mean more small groups. It means giving yourself wholeheartedly to him. You guys, if I was ever in counseling, marriage counseling, okay? And let's just say in this example, me and Nancy, we're just not getting along. We're fighting all the time. You know, we're on the brink of divorce, right? Let's just say like that's where our marriage is, right? The last thing I'd want to hear if I went to Mike and Gay and said, hey, give us counsel. The last thing I'd want to hear is them say, you know what you guys need to do? You guys need to go on more dates. Here's why. Me sitting across from my wife when we're disconnected is not going to solve our problem, because there's a disconnection that's happened. So if you're disconnected from the Lord, if you have God out of the God spot, you don't need more church. You don't need more Bible study. What you need is find out, where's the disconnection? What else is in that space? Now, I'm not saying God can't work through you coming to more church. Absolutely. But again, it's not a formula. I think we've all understood that, right? Like, you plus church does not equal a great grand life. Are you guys with me? Yeah. You plus going to small group every week does not equal your life not having issues. All of us could probably, I could probably give the mic to each and every one of us, and we would all still say, this is something I'm struggling with. This is an issue I have. This is what I need help in, and so forth. My point being is that you and I understand that it's not, church isn't the solution. I love church. I will continue to go to church, and I want you guys to continue going to church. However, church is not my God. God is my God. And unless, and if God ever stops being here, the Lopez's won't be here anymore. Right? I'm just trying to put emphasis on that. It's not about the place. It's not about the building. It's not about the Bible study. It's about your connection with God. And using those things as tools. Right? Using, like, when I go to church, I know I'm going to get equipped. I know I'm going to be equipped because I get to worship with the saints. I know I get to rub shoulders with other believers and that they're going to make me better. When I go to small group or when I have my private Bible study time, I know I'm going to get better. I'm going to get fed. Right? But I also need to make sure that I'm having connection with the Lord. Because there's so many Christians walking around and they say, they profess the name of Jesus. I believe in Jesus. He is my Savior. I worship Him. I know all the words to all the Hillsong songs and Bethel songs. And I have the fish sticker on the back of my car, which don't do that because then you cut somebody off and then they know. Okay? And I do all these things, right? And I do all these things. But then if we get a picture of their God spot, if we get a picture of, oh, is God actually there? And like, oh, no, I put him there on Sundays, right? I put him there when I'm around my Christian friends. I put him there when I'm at retreat or when I'm at conference because that's when I need him. No, all the time. All the time you need him. So, find the disconnect, if there is a disconnect. Again, you going back to that example with me and my wife. It's not another date that would heal our marriage. It's me figuring out when I stopped saying yes to my wife. Because daily I wake up and I don't focus on all the no's in my life. I don't wake up and say, wow, here's another day I'm going to have to say no to all the billions of women out there that want Eric Lopez. I don't wake up saying that. But what I do wake up saying is that today's another day where I get to say yes to my wife. And that's what keeps my marriage. Is that I don't just approach my marriage flippantly and say, okay, great. 16 years ago, we said yes to each other and that's good enough. And I have the framed thing that has Pastor Mike's signature on it and our witness's signature on it. And that's enough. No. I wake up and I say yes to her in the same. And I know it's like it's the only way that I can truly use like the best example I can come up with, because it's a covenant relationship with my spouse that I have to wake up every day and continue to say yes to God. I can't be satisfied with the yes I gave him when I was 19 years old back in 2005. Like, I can't be satisfied with that because that's not going to sustain me. It has to be a daily me waking up saying yes. Not just on Sunday. Actually, Sunday, it's the hardest to say yes because everybody's tired. We got to come and we got to do stuff, right? But it's not just about the Sunday. It's about every other day of the week. Amen? How many of you guys have junk drawers in your house? Junk drawers. I think all of us have junk drawers. If you don't, awesome. That's kudos to you. Junk drawers are just, they're a mystery. Them with the Bermuda Triangle and, you know, any other conspiracies, like, how do they happen? I don't know. It doesn't matter if you live in a new house, if you've just lived there for a month. Eventually, there's a junk drawer, right? We have a junk drawer in our house, and I don't even know what's in there. There's cords and stuff, and you open it, and there's, like, phone cases, and, like, why do we have this? What's in here? And then you just put it back, and you're like, all right, move on, right? And it's just there, and then one day you clean it out, and you're like, awesome. No more junk drawer. And then 3 weeks later, you open it. Like, there's more stuff in here, right? I would say this. Our heart can often be a junk drawer. And we don't know what's in there. We're flippant about what we put in there. We're flippant about what we're consuming. We're flippant about how we guard our heart. And our heart becomes a junk drawer. And I would just say today, church, that we would begin emptying our junk drawer. We would empty our heart. And if God isn't in that spot, we would empty it out. If I went and pulled my drawer out, I could dump it all out and put back in there what the stuff we actually need, right? If I took the time to do that, I'm probably not going to do that. But if we can take our heart and assess, take an assessment, empty it out, say, what needs to be in there? Because there's probably a lot of stuff in there that I don't need in there. There's probably a lot of, like, you know, not just that, like, there could be hurts in there. There could be things we're holding on to, right? Things that we could have given to Jesus long time ago, but haven't. There could be things in there that God wants to bring a resolve to, but because we don't have him as in the center, because we don't have him in the God spot, he's not able to do it because we're not giving it to him. The last question I have, how do I keep God in the God spot? Again, getting really practical. My goal here isn't, again, to preach this message where you're like, wow, I'm just a cruddy person. And I, you know, like, that's not the goal at all. My goal is that to encourage you guys to live your life on purpose, to live your life as a believer, not by accident, not just, oh, I come to church on accident, if I have time, and I worship the Lord, if I have time, and I pray, you know, like, but actually everything being done on purpose. So, practicality, how do I keep God in the God spot? Proverbs 11:14 says, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. If you get the right people around you, it could be a great resource. The right people, right? God never intended us to do life alone. Amen. Can we agree with that? Right? From the beginning, right? God made Adam and all animals of the earth, and he gave Adam Eve. Not because of any other reason, but because he says it's not good for man to be alone. So I read that and I say, okay, that applies not just to creation, that applies to my whole life. It's not just me and God, because God, that's not even biblical. God intended for me to do life with people, and not just any person, but people that are going to strengthen me. This is the most frustrating, like, Nancy and I, we love ministering to youth so much, and I want to do it forever and ever and ever, and it makes me sad that one day I might age out and be too old to hang out with young people. But till that day, I'm still here wearing Vans and dressing like this, and I'll probably keep doing it, okay? The frustrating thing about youth is you could have a powerful night or a powerful weekend or a camp or a conference, right? And because they don't have the correct people surrounded by them, they go to school on Monday and everything is undone. I'm not saying God's still not faithful, is still not able to move. He is able to move. But the most frustrating thing is that we and I know this doesn't apply to young people. This applies to us as adults as well. But for sure, young people, is that they have set themselves up with people surrounding them that are not going to help them grow in the Lord. And it all gets undone. You get the right people around you, it can be a great resource, right? And I love in Proverbs, it talks all about having many advisors. A common phrase I like to say is this: if you look at people as resources in your life, and you can look at them as pillars in your life. Okay, pillars. Like, I guess these kind of are pillars, right? And if you can set up pillars in your life way before you need anything to lean on, you'll be set up for success. The struggle is that people try to do life alone and they don't gather pillars around them, and then life happens and you know what hits the fan, right? And then all of a sudden they're looking for something to lean on, but nothing's there. Why? Because no pillars were set up. So my encouragement, if you want to grow, if you want to keep God in your God spot, you get the right people around you. You get the right pillars around you. Now, I'm not saying we can't have non-Christian friends. No, I actually think every person in here should have non-Christian friends. I think that's important. How are we supposed to reach the world if all we hang out with is people that look like us? Right? Jesus hung out with sinners. That's the Bible. Okay? But what I am saying is that if that's your only resource, then it might be no wonder you're struggling through life, because the people you surround yourself with are not setting you up for success, okay? So set pillars up in your life way before you need anything to lean on. And the last verse I'll read is this, Proverbs 4:23. It's a very famous verse. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Again, don't be flippant about what is allowed into your heart. Don't just be careless about what you're letting into your heart. And this doesn't just mean content, right? Sure, there are things, there's media, there's movies, there's music, there's news that can negatively affect your heart and what comes out, right? But negative thinking could be something too. Negative self-talk. Having just negative people around you, right? It's okay to be around somebody that is negative and that it's affecting you, to say, hey, actually, I mean, you don't even need to say anything, but internally you can say, I need to take a break from that person, because I actually don't get life. I actually feel more down when I'm around that person, right? And again, like I said previously, bring them Jesus when you can. But negative talk, negative thinking, what are you allowing in? The media, the news. I'm not saying don't watch the news. I think it's important for us to know what's happening in the world, right? But it can be something that consumes your life. It can be something, right? Like, this is what our own pastor has realized, right? He had to fast news because he knew how it was impacting his life. So this can be something. You know, shows, music. You know, our family, I think I've said this before, you know, our family, we're not your traditional Christian family, if you will. Like, our kids grew up watching The Office, right? And I'm proud to say that, right? Because Michael Scott raised them, okay? And if you don't know what The Office is, that's okay. That's just another time, okay? But my point in saying that is that there are things even still that we can allow to come in our life. And even though we're allowing it, right, we then have to have checks and balances and realize, hey, actually, this isn't good for my spirit right now, right? Actually, this show is not good for my spirit right now. This music isn't good for my spirit right now, right? It's about having the checks and balances and not getting too far this way where it's like, I just throw caution to the wind and listen and watch whatever and no checks and balances without Holy Spirit, and, or going completely this way and said, I don't listen to anything but Carrie Job and that's all I have, right? And whatever, like, I mean, if whatever you want to do, it's fine, but having those checks and balances and figuring out, protecting your heart and people. Having checks and balances of the people that you have in your life. Because my hope, my prayer for you guys is that you would have friends, you would have family in your life that make you better. Right? I think I said it last week, or maybe I said it to youth, I don't remember, is that in relationships, and this is the way I look at it, you should have three different types of relationships in your life. You should have one, a relationship where you pour into somebody. Two, relationships where somebody else is pouring into you. And three, relationships where you pour into one another. Right? And of course, there's going to be amendments in that. There's going to be relationships where nobody pours into anybody and it's just whatever. Those are most likely going to be people that you work with, right? And those are just people you see, and that's fine. But if we can get those three down in our life, people that we're pouring into that are pouring into us, and then relationships where we're pouring into one another, I think then we could get this down and we could protect our God spot. Because people have influence. I just heard this crazy story, and I'm going to end here, but I heard this crazy story. This is somebody who loved Jesus, who loves Jesus, and was serving, was doing the thing. And then they started to, you know, they got free from a crazy life. One of those whole story, one of those Saul to Paul stories, right? Crazy life, all that stuff. And then they just started to dabble in a little bit. Just a little bit. Just started to get influenced. Instead of influencing, started to get influenced just a little bit. And literally, continued to serve, continued to do the thing, and got so far this way, so far back deep into their sin life in secret, that they were literally walking around with drugs in their pocket while they were ministering. Right? Like, that's what I'm talking about. The people in your life matter. Because they could either help you keep God in the God spot, or they can help you question why God is even in the God spot. Which one do we want? They could help you. Let's help keep that thing there. When you get tired and when you get weak, let's help keep that thing there. Or they can question, why is God the most important thing in your life? Should he be? Your life's really hard and you serve Jesus. Let's try something else. Let's put something else in that spot, right? And they can help you question it. I want people around me that are gonna help me keep it there. Amen? All right, let's pray. And I'm just going to ask, you close your eyes. I'm just going to ask this, that if you know today that you have taken God out of the God spot, I want you just to raise your hand and just be brave and say, yes, that's me. I've taken God out of the God spot. He's not there, right? The second question I would ask is this, is that if you know that God just isn't in the God spot, today you're realizing, as you've been sitting here, you've realized he's not in the God spot. Maybe you didn't take him out, but maybe you just realize he's not there. I want you to raise your hand. So let's pray. And if that's you, I just want you at your seat to receive. You don't need to do anything to publicly say, that's me. That's up to you. But I just want to begin praying and believing. And if you guys can agree, those of you who didn't raise your hand, agree as we pray and declare over our brothers and sisters in this room, those who raised their hand and said, I want God back in our God spot. Jesus, we thank you so much that you're faithful. We thank you, God, that there is nothing more you want than just to know that we see ourselves as sons and daughters. Yes, God, you want us to live a life that's going after you, and a life that is as close to perfection as we can, and a life modeled after Jesus, God. But Lord, today you're calling us sons and daughters, Lord. And I pray for those who made that declaration or raised their hand and said, yes, I've taken them out of the God spot. Right now, I just pray, right, that you would begin to minister to their hearts, minister to their minds, minister to their spirits, God. That whatever is keeping them from keeping you in the spot that is claimed as yours in their lives, Lord, you would minister to their hearts right now. And God, I just pray for everybody in this room. I pray for a hedge of protection over them as they go throughout their life, as they go throughout their work week, as they go throughout whatever they have going on this week, Lord, that you would give them the strength, Lord, to fight where it really matters, to fight when they're out there in the world, when they're out there and they have to defend their faith, that they would actually, that's the time, Lord, where you would show them what you've equipped them for. And I just thank you so much, Father God. I thank you so much that not only do we have a spot in our heart reserved for you, Lord, but that there's a spot in your heart reserved for us. And there's not one person in this room, there's not one person driving by right now, there's not one person in this city, in this state, in this world, that you don't have a reserved spot for in your heart. And I just thank you so much, God, for your faithfulness, for your goodness. I thank you that you're not ashamed of us. I thank you, God, that there's nothing that we can do that takes us so far away from you, God, for you not to just welcome us back with open arms. I just pray for strength in this place. Yeah. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I actually have a word. I have a word for David Martinez. Some of you may or may not know David. He's an amazing man. Known him for quite some time. David, the word I got, the picture I saw, now stick with me, because sometimes, sorry if this offends you, but sometimes God is weird and he gives you weird stuff, and that's okay. I saw you as a marshmallow. And that's the word. I'm just kidding. That's not the word. I saw you as a marshmallow, and I saw you as a marshmallow, and there's you're at a campfire, right? You're being put on the stick. You're being put over the fire to get that, you know, that nice, I know some of you like just the burnt marshmallow, but when you can get the marshmallow just that perfect, golden brown, right? Yeah, and there's a way to do it, right? I can do a whole class on making s'mores, by the way, you guys. You got to get the graham cracker, and you put that with the chocolate by the fire so the chocolate begins to melt. It's a whole science, okay? But anyways, that's not the word. Marshmallow in the fire. Not getting burnt, but actually getting to that perfect, golden brown, right? And I feel like the word is this, is that God is saying, David, you may feel like you're in the fire and that it hurts and that it's uncomfortable, but trust me in this, because you're going to come out better. You're going to come out more beautiful. You're going to come out not only on the outside, but on the inside, right? And that your flavor is going to be better than it was before, right? I think we can all agree that, maybe not, but hopefully we can all agree that a roasted marshmallow is better than a non-roasted marshmallow. Are you guys with me? Yeah. Amen, church? Okay. I feel like I'm dividing the church right now. But that's the word over you, David, is that yes, it's been a fire season, and yes, it's been, a moment of pain and discomfort, but that God is saying, I'm bringing you out of this, and you're going to be better, right? You're going to be so much better. And you're going to be better not only for yourself, but you're going to be better for the people around you that you influence, including your family, including your coworkers, and that just continue doing what you're doing. You're right where you need to be, right? You're right where you need to be. Amen. I want to pray for you. If you guys just extend your hands to David. Jesus, we thank you for David. God, I just pray a blessing over his life. I pray a blessing, Lord, over his heart, God. And I thank you for the man of God that you've made him. God, I thank you, Lord, that so many years ago he said yes to you. And he made mighty, mighty choices to say yes to you. And I thank you that that same young man that made that choice years ago is still in this room today. That fire that he had in his heart years ago is not only still there, but that it's growing. And so we thank you so much for David, and I thank you for the whole Martinez family. And I just pray a blessing over them, protection over them. And I rebuke any and all sickness and ailments that are trying to attack this family in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Awesome. All right. Does anybody have anything? Am I good to go? Praise God. Awesome. Just a quick reminder, Saturday workday. We're going to need as many people as possible. So we'll send out a text to remind everybody, but if you could just put it in your calendars that next Saturday, we'll be here at 10 to get our church all pretty for Easter. That'll be amazing. Okay. Love you guys.
songs you could keep listening until your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandkid was born. The YouTube Music Crew.